Welcome to the WP Builds Podcast, bringing you the latest news, interviews, and fun for the WordPress community. Now, welcome your host, Nathan Wrigley.
Hello there, and welcome once again to the WP Builds Podcast. You've reached episode number 418, entitled Sherry Holub's Custom Field Approach to Website Design. It was published on Thursday, the 17th of April, 2025. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and before we get to the conversation with Sherry, a few bits of housekeeping. The first thing to say is that the Page Builder Summit is back. I've mentioned it on previous episodes, but if you are in the WordPress space, whether you're building websites with page builders or the block editor, we have got a fabulous summit lined up for you. It's running between the dates of the 12th of May to the 16th of May. That's all in the year 2025, I might add. And you can find it at pagebuildersummit.com. If you scroll down, you'll be able to see a list of all of the different speakers that we've got. And I'm sure that you'll agree there's an absolute load of brilliant speakers in there. They come free of charge. The whole thing is free. You'll be able to consume the content for 48 hours completely for free. But if you fancy purchasing what we call the Power Pack, you will be able to access that forever. The best thing to do right now is to click the Join the Waitlist button. It's on the webpage at the moment, and fill out the form there. We're simply asking for your name and your email address, and we will keep you posted as to when and where things are happening. So pagebuildersummit.com, please feel free to join us. If you're interested in sponsoring that event, please go to pagebuildersummit.com/sponsors, and you'll be able to see two options. We've got our patron option and we've got our partner option, but also beneath all of those under the pricing table, you will be able to find an option for a micro sponsor. So if you are not one of these companies with enormously deep pockets, then find that as well. Like I say, it's underneath the pricing table at pagebuildersummit.com/sponsors. Okay, turning back to WP Builds. If you like what we're doing over here and you would like to sponsor this podcast and get yourself out in front of a very WordPress specific audience, we release episodes every couple of weeks and you can be featured on those. You'll hear from some fine companies in a moment that do just that. But if you want to join them, head to wpbuilds.com/advertise to find out more. We would love to get you on the podcast in front of our WordPress specific audience. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. You can find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. The podcast is also helped this week by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And also keeping the lights on at the podcast this week is Omnisend. Omnisend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend, the email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Then try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. And sincere thanks go to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost and Omnisend for their continuing and ongoing support of the WP Builds podcast. Podcasts like this cannot happen without the support of companies like them. Okay, what have we got for you today? Well, today's an interesting episode. I'm joined by Sherry, and she's here to talk to me all about her perspective on building websites and the way that she designs them. Sherry has been using WordPress for a very, very long time. She's using custom fields to do all of the different bits and pieces on her WordPress builds. I'm sure that many of you have dabbled with this before, but Sherry has really leaned into it. She's not using anything other than custom fields, and she's not getting into using page builders or anything like that. But we talk today about the creative process that we go through, how she manages clients and how she manages the projects that they bring. She also talks about why she's got this particular process and how she implements it all. And so I hope that you enjoy it. I am joined on the podcast by Sherry Holub. Hello, Sherry.
Hello, Nathan. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. Thank you for staying the course. Sherry and I attempted to record this podcast a little while ago, and we had a fail from my end. And I'm really grateful that you've stayed the course and come back for a second go. I really appreciate that.
Of course.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it anyway. But we're going to talk today a little bit about the life that Sherry leads in the WordPress space and how it may differ from the life that you lead and the way that her business has been configured over the years. Before we get stuck into it, Sherry, just a very quick, maybe 1 minute or something like that, little bio about you and what you've been doing with WordPress over these many years. Just a moment to tell us who you are and what you do in the WordPress space. So over to you.
Sure. I've been doing this for a long time. Basically, I graduated from UCLA School of Art in 1995, which seems like an eternity ago, and didn't know what to do with an art degree other than, you know, I was very creative, but I wasn't kind of like that super highly proficient illustrator or anything. So I was doing graphic design on the side, and I thought, well, why don't I just put all my eggs in this basket and kind of started, you know, a small little agency. It was probably about 15, 18 years ago that we started using WordPress, so quite a long time. We were in the space of doing basic websites of HTML, just plain old HTML, and then thought, you know, there's these systems, these database-driven sites coming out. We looked at Joomla, you know, some other very early kind of things that I can't even remember the name of, but a lot of just PHP-based database-driven stuff. And then people were talking about this blogging platform, and I thought, okay, maybe that has some potential. People were tweaking it a little bit, you know, creating websites off of this platform. And so we started messing around with it, and we thought, hey, this is a lot easier to modify than Joomla. And kind of since the beginning, the whole thing I hang my hat on is custom design. So we wanted something that was, you know, completely customizable, that we could plug in any sort of design to it. So that's where WordPress, even in the early days, you know, with the basic theme, we were able to tweak that enough to, you know, insert our custom designs. So that's kind of where it all started. And, you know, over the years, we've looked at other things, but nothing satisfied that completely customizable need that we had, except for WordPress. So, you know, the fact that it was open source and everything was just a bonus. And we've even had programmers come in to do custom plugins, you know, when a client needed a special need, like very specific thing that didn't already exist, or, you know, we felt like, oh, we can actually program this better than the existing thing. So that's as far as we've gotten into, you know, actually plugin world. Haven't actually put anything out for sale. It's all just for clients. But basically, you know, that's kind of where we started and how it kind of evolved. In the last 5 years, 6 years, I can't remember exactly. Time goes so fast now. We started using custom fields exclusively to build. So we kind of came up with our own builder. And I say that because, you know, it's kind of unique to each site, but, and it, you know, it's not packaged like a builder, like a Beaver builder or something like that. We actually program it for each site. But at this point, you know, we have our code already done, and we just modify it, tweak it a little bit for each client. But, you know, when we've showed it to people, and we even showed it to the advanced custom fields folks, and they're like, this is not like what everybody else is doing. And I thought, really? Why? Why aren't they doing this? So, yeah, the way that I see ACF used a lot is on top of something else. Like, they're already using other things, and then they plug that in for something specific. And I think, you know, where Blocks came in is, Blocks is, of course, you know, the now native new thing that they're pushing. And we've tried, you know, with blocks, but I think, you know, we keep circling back to it. And there's just a few things that we can't do yet with it that kind of prevent us from going all in on it. But we're playing around with it, you know, because we see which way the wind's blowing.
Yeah.
So, you know, but as long as ACF is still doing its thing and, you know, we can still customize like that, that I think is the real beauty of WordPress, that, you know, it's customizable enough that you can use blocks or you can use ACF or another builder or Divi or whatever, you know, and there's enough out there in the ecosystem that no matter what your flavor is, you know, you've got something you can work with. So that's what I like the best about it.
When you said at the beginning that you had an arts degree, was it literally like paintbrushes and things on canvas? So you were painting things?
Yeah, and yes.
Yeah, okay, that's interesting. And then, obviously, I'm guessing, excuse me, I'll edit that out. I'm guessing it's quite hard to generate a career out of that. Obviously, you know, there are some notable examples and they're very famous and what have you who managed to do that. But if everybody that went to art school managed to be an artist, we'd probably be deluged. There's not that many roles out there. So I'm kind of wondering, does the internet, nothing to do with WordPress, but does the internet scratch the itch for you that you have around creating pieces of art? Because it feels like when you look at a website that's really beautifully designed and what have you, you can get something close to that. But equally, the technical constraints and the fact that, you know, you can't do everything exactly how you want. You're limited by the programming and you're limited by CSS and what's possible in browsers and what have you. I'm just wondering if there's any bit of creativity overlap there that meant that this was the career that you were always destined to end up in.
You know, it's funny because when I was younger and I was, you know, sitting at my Commodore 64 typing in like BASIC and things like that, or, you know, playing Infocom games, I was not thinking like that I would be using a computer and there would be this thing called the internet and, you know, all of that. Like, I don't know why, I just didn't see that coming. And it just, you know, as things evolved, and the funny story, way back in 1995, my very first website client came through a friend who was taking vocal lessons from one of the top vocal coaches in Los Angeles. That's when I still lived in LA. And she said, yeah, Liz needs a website. Can you do that? And I was like, sure. You know, I'd kind of messed around because in another lifetime, I was actually a rave DJ in LA and producing electronic music. So I had put up a little website for that. And I thought, yeah, sure, yeah, why not? You know, I was just doing graphic design, but I'm like, I can do this. So I built her that website, and she's still a client, by the way, after all these years, which is kind of awesome. But I find that the limitations can bring out the creativity, you know? So, you know, if you have to creatively, you know, put branding into something, you know, like how do you do that? Where you're taking concepts, basically, you know, and fleshing them out and making them real life. And then there's that whole marketing angle, which is, there's a lot of creativity involved there. There's a lot of psychology involved there. All of that blended together, the design, the marketing, all of that, I think how you solve problems is the creative part of that. So it's not necessarily just design and artistic, literal artistic stuff, but creative thinking.
Yeah, there's definitely loads of that. This is a curious side conversation, But obviously, I interview people. That is what I do. Mm-hmm. And you and I are looking at each other on a screen, and I can see in the background the environment that you're in. And so I get this a lot, and very often, to the point where it cannot be a coincidence, there is some artistic material behind the person that I'm talking to. And typically that would be a musical instrument. I mean, that's a really easy thing to spot. You know, it sits there, it's, sure, you know, sure. There's a guitar, there's a cello, there's a violin or what have you. Occasionally I'll see something like an easel, but I am very often quite surprised by the amount of people who I talk to in the WordPress space, web development space, who clearly have some overlap in their brain between, you know, there's just some part of their life which has to be creative, and it's visible, it's on display. And I don't know if that's just a coincidence of the people that I speak to, but the proportion is very high, well over 50%, which is pretty remarkable, really.
That's kind of interesting, actually, that, well, and there's so many forms of creativity. People think of artist, you know, and they typically think paintbrush, paint and everything. And honestly, even through school, there was printmaking, there was photography. I was really heavy into photography. So a lot of different forms of just visual arts. But then there's creative writing, which I do a lot of. There's music, there's all kinds of different art. And actually, you can't see, but I have a djembe, I have, you know, a little collection of drums there back there. Go. So yeah, you're right on there, you just can't see it. And I do have, you know, some of my own stuff in the background.
Yeah, it never ceases to amaze me. The proportion is so high. And I do think that, you know, you are, when you're given the role of beginning a new website, you're faced with a blank canvas. You've got what basically is a white screen otherwise. You know, you're going to end up with this white screen. And you have to fill it up with things. And you have to fill it up with things which are going to draw people in, are going to get people talking, get people coming back, get people interested. And you've got color, and you've got depth, and you've got shade and light. And in some cases, you know, you can be involving yourself in music or video. That can all be a part of it. And so I do think it is a very creative industry. However, all that being said, a lot of the creative stuff that I see often, this is going to sound wrong, and I may have to sort of undo some of the stuff I'm about to say. It feels like if you want to be really, really creative, those tend to be big budget websites, you know, enterprisey things where they've got the budget to experiment and explore and really play with the design and what have you. And I don't know if you've ever got yourself involved in that, or is yours more kind of like local websites? And if that's the case, do you feel a bit more constrained because of the budget? And you kind of, everything's crowding in a little bit and it's tighter. You've got to get things shipped quickly. So the creativity sort of goes out the window a little bit, if you know what I mean.
Well, like I said, the thing that I've always hung my hat on was the custom design part of it. You know, it's like going to a bespoke tailor where you're not going to get something off the rack. So no matter the budget, we're still kind of focused on customizing a design for each project, for each client. And how we scale that back is, you know, less bells and whistles, things like that. But in addition to that, I also have low overhead. You know, my office is the room above my garage. My main programmer is out in Sedona, Arizona. She works out of her home. So, you know, we don't have the high-rise office. We're not the New York agency. You know, I was never destined to do that. I'm far more like folk art than I am museum, right? So that's part of it, is we have low overhead, and we also have been doing this so long now, you know, 18 years with the same content management system and evolving with it. So we really know what we're doing as far as, you know, the programming and the back end of it. So we don't have to spin our wheels and put in huge long hours on each project either. So the smaller project may just have less design overall. Like, maybe, you know, we don't do four different kinds of looks, but we may do that for larger projects where, you know, they have, we've done sites where they have different divisions, you know, of the company. And each one of those has kind of a slightly different look and feel. Or we also do, you know, a full range of graphic design and stuff too. So that also bolsters the business where we can do, you know, brochures and booklets and trade show booth stuff and, you know, the whole nine yards. So, and on top of that, we've got our worry-free WordPress maintenance that we offer. So we've got, you know, reoccurring income. And I would say 98% of the people sign up for that. So, well, you know, while I'm not bringing in a dozen projects every month, the projects that do come in become long-term ongoing clients. So that's a bit of a tangent, but, you know, there's many ways that we can incorporate that creativity and design out other things, you know, like from the website. We also do all of the, you know, the branding or, you know, the print materials. And, you know, we use creativity in each one of those things. So, you know, it's not necessarily that, you know, we have package deals or anything like that. Everything is custom with the design, and it's just scaled back or scaled forward based on what those needs are of the client. And then, you know, if it is a bigger budget thing, then yes, we may put in more bells and whistles, or it may include custom programming, like a custom plugin, something like that. And that increases the budget.
I always think that when you see somebody in some kind of flow state, and I don't know if you know what I mean by that, but where, you know, somebody is absolutely bound up in the activity of the moment. And I can see that in artists, you know, somebody playing in a band or something, you just get the sense that they're right there. But I've also had the same experience watching people who've just got deeply into programming. And that same kind of thing seems to take them over. You know, you get a deep sense of pleasure out of solving that problem in the same way that somebody has a deep sense of pleasure performing or writing a song. And so that was kind of where the arrow of my question was heading, really. It was whether or not you get that same feeling of creating websites, that same sense of pleasure. And it's going to sound tenuous at best, but do the constraints of things like CSS, which is, you know, a very programmatic thing, and it's almost like, I don't know, putting a grid on your easel and saying, well, you can only paint things inside the grid, you know, that's all you're allowed to do. And that would kind of wick away fairly quickly the enjoyment that you'd get out of the easel and the paint. I'm wondering if that's the case with design for you, or if you do, you know, does it give you that sense of satisfaction and artistic creativity and license and freedom?
It does, actually. Nice. And that is why, even though I'm the, you know, the founder of the company and all of that, I still do all of the design.
Nice. Yeah.
Because that is my love, you know. And at this point in the game where, you know, I've been doing this for close to 30 years, it's almost second nature. And sometimes, you know, it's a lot like other creative pursuits where you're like, man, I'm just zapped today, and I'm not thinking of, like, you know, the thing that I need to be thinking of. Or, you know, you'll take a walk or take a break or whatever, come back to it, sleep on it, you know. So it's a lot like other, you know, creativity in that sense. So, you know, coming up with a creative way to solve a client's problem is what totally, like, lights my fire, you know?
Yeah.
And I also love incorporating the marketing aspect of it too. And a lot of, you know, I see a lot of design out there that's basically designed for design's sake, you know? And design is separate from art for me. If I want to really do art, I'll break out the oil pastels or something like that and take a break and just get lost in that for a while, which is a totally different way to use my brain. But yeah, the design has to have a purpose. What is the purpose of that? And it's really the marketing, you know? Yeah. We are creating these things. People are paying us to create these things so that they can make money or reach their audience or their message. Or, you know, I work with a lot of nonprofits. So, you know, it's getting that message out, getting people emotionally involved to want to donate, things like that. And that's, you know, I find that kind of a creative pursuit. You know, how do I make this happen for them? You know, what can I visually do for that?
Yeah, I always thought that as a freelancer, it was a real relationship that was good sometimes and bad sometimes. And it was basically that whole thing of multitasking. So you've got many, many hats to wear, which on a day where you're feeling overwhelmed, that can be fairly intimidating and a little bit horrible. You know, you've got too many tasks to do. But then again, I always thought when the creative juices dried up and for some reason you were staring at the blank page, you know, like an author might describe, you've got that blank page thing, nothing seems to come out. The creative bit of you is shot down for some unknown reason. You can then flip into the non-creative tasks, which on some days might be the last thing you want to do. But on other days when the creative juices are not flowing, you can just go into, okay, we're going to do several hours of non-creative grind work because that's part of the business as well. And so it was like this seesaw, this balancing act of, okay, that's good some days, that's bad some days. But on the whole, managing the whole thing is quite a nice enterprise, even though on some given days, some of those tasks might feel a little bit like chores.
Yeah, there's definitely things that I'm loath to do. And I try and like offload those. But that took a long time to kind of figure out that like I shouldn't slog through this thing that, you know, I don't look forward to. I don't enjoy doing it. And it's not my forte, you know. So I try and offload that sort of stuff. But yeah, you're absolutely right there. I mean, you can't be 100% creative 100% of the time. I mean, it's dips and valleys. And when you're not feeling it and you've got a deadline, you know, you have to dig deep and kind of come up with something. And that's that. I mean, not to go on another whole tangent here, but that's why I even tell other people in the field or my peers or whatnot, like that whole take care of yourself thing is so important. Mm-hmm. I mean, I used to do the all-nighters, push myself, you know, kind of thing. And you really burn out in not just a creative sense, but truly a physical sense. And there was a year where I just got like everything that went around. I had the flu like twice, you know, and I just felt awful. And I'm like, I can't keep doing this, you know. So that is an important aspect of, I think, a creative person's work is, you know, they call it the work-life balance. And really it's, it kind of is that, but it's, you just have to take care of yourself and prioritize, you know, like prioritize sleep, prioritize downtime. You know, and for me, it's like getting out in nature, you know, and away from screens.
Yeah. I can completely empathize with that. I think the more old I become, which sadly is a real fact of life for me now, I want to have that sort of downtime and I want to be able to step away from it. However, I'm also very kind of optimistic about the way that the web is going, the sort of features that are coming into browsers and the new things that are coming down the pike in CSS and things like that to unlock creativity in ways that really, you know, when I began, everything was tables. The whole of your website was built with tables. You'll identify with this from some of the things you said earlier. You know the pain. And then CSS came along and it did some of the things, but it wasn't entirely brilliant. And in fact, CSS hasn't been particularly great in some respects. You've had competing browsers with different standards, but it feels like that's all behind us now. And some of the things that are coming down in CSS in the near future, hopefully, will unlock a whole generation of people being creative online, because it feels like it's the place everybody's hanging out. You know, nobody Nobody's really going out and buying magazines anymore. I mean, maybe they are in your part of the world, but that whole thing of obsessing about every Friday you'd go down and you'd spend your money and you'd get a magazine and you'd flip over and you'd look at all the beautiful layouts and ponder how it was all done and what have you. Everything now seems to be done through the prism of either a computer, a laptop, or a or the mobile phone. And and this is the new place to be creative. And I think there is going to be a lot of creativity in the future. I hope so, at least, anyway.
I hope so too, because for a while there, it seemed like a lot of the creativity was stripped out of things.
Yeah,
you know, we'd go through phases of like. It's just a very like white screen with giant font or one image or something. And I think, some of the newer software and everything kind of more aligns to that in some ways, like the fast iteration. I mean, people may think I'm a total dinosaur, but I still mess with Photoshop.
Oh, yeah.
Because, one, I'm familiar with it. I mean, I've been using it since 1993 or something. So, it's just something I know inside and out. But some of the newer things where you're not even opening a design software, you're already iterating. You're in, like, the code, or the program's doing it for you, you know, the code part. And you're just adding elements like color and typeface and things like that. So I think the software, the process, all of that definitely changes what you see as far as what's on websites these days. Also, you know, the fact that there's so many pre-made themes out there where it's somebody else's box, essentially. And that's, that's kind of a drum I've banged a lot, is that, you are stuck in somebody's box, and the theme developers they don't know your business. They don't know who your audience is. They are creating this thing for as many industries and audiences as humanly possible. So,
I know what you mean. I feel that we've had not just WordPress, any piece of software that created things online, we were constrained by things like CSS and the sort of div structure of everything in the underlying HTML. And so we had a lot of cookie cutter sites, and then CMSs kind of really enabled that whole, like, anybody with experience or not can get something half decent. But it, like you said, you fit in the box of whatever it is. So you fit in the box of the CMS, which then you've got another box inside that, which is the theme, and then there's probably boxes within those boxes. But I think WordPress at the moment is making real efforts to, obviously we'll get into this in a minute, but with things like the block editor and theme JSON and the capacity to create your themes without needing to be skilled with any kind of code or code editor, you can do all of that inside the site editor. But not just that, but also promoting with things like the WordPress showcase, examples of interesting, I'm not going to say good because you may like them or you may not like them, but interesting design where agencies and WordPress site builders have just done something which is a little bit different. And I think that speaks to a future where design hopefully will get handed back and will become more creative. And the burden of understanding, okay, how does that work inside of a div? And how does that work with the CSS? That will be less, because it'll just be more point, click, drag. Now, maybe that's good for the world. It may not be. I don't know, in terms of accessibility, it probably rings some alarm bells and things like that. But it seems like a good idea. However, one of the reasons that we're talking today is because I was talking about the block editor just now, which is something that I'm very keen on. You've gone in completely the opposite direction, but I don't know what your direction is. You alluded to the fact that you're using custom fields. Can we just dig into that a little bit? What is the builder that you have constructed? In as much as you can describe it in words, I'm curious to know what that is like.
Sure. We realized with advanced custom fields that we could, code in our design in a more custom way, essentially. We weren't stuck in a box where the template or whatnot within the theme as, okay, here's your hero image, here's your three boxes under that. So, you know, we've come up with these kind of flexible, you know, they're very movable. You can move them around. And they're standard things like, okay, columns or, you know, full width content, or yes, there's a hero image kind of thing, or a video background or whatever. But, you know, we create a field for each one of these things, and they have switches on them for, you know, adding padding, adding margin, turning this off or on, sections like background wraps, visibility wraps, you know, just whatever we found that our designs needed, we created a field for it, essentially. And the sections themselves, you know, can be added or removed from a page easily enough. We have a lot of clients who need special use case things, like they're doing a marketing piece and they need a landing page, so they don't want navigation on the top. So we created a switch to turn on or off the navigation on every page, you know, on each individual page. So it's really, we just found that it was a way to strip out a lot of the bloat that we would see in some of the other themes or builders out there, because they were kitchen sink things, you know, everything but the kitchen sink is in these things.
You're right. Okay. Yeah.
You know, and so we've slimmed that down, and it's really only what's necessary to be, you know, for the site that we're building or for, you know, the near future use of a client. And most of our clients we found don't log into their sites.
So
itself is easy.
Yeah. So
it's so easy.
Is it a bunch of meta boxes then, basically? So if I was to go into one of the sites that you have shipped to your clients, would I go to a page and then discover that there's the editor, but beneath the editor, there's a whole smorgasbord of different fields? Okay, this is the content that goes in the header, for example, and this is an image, and this might be a YouTube video, and okay, you want another YouTube video, okay, repeat that, only this time replace the URL. Is it basically fields?
Yeah, in a way. We're hiding the classic editor altogether, you know, and we're of course hiding the Gutenberg editor. So you start out with like a blank page, and all you see is the title field at the top, you know, for the page. And then there's a little prompt that, you know, you could add a section, you know. And when you click that, a little menu comes up that lists all the available things.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's not overwhelming either. Even with the largest sites we've built, there's not like, you know, 30 different things or whatnot, because most everything will fit within columns or full width content or this or that. You know, and if there's something very specific in the design, like a call to action that you want on, you can choose to either have it on a page or not have it on a page. We just have a switch that says either turn it on or off, you know, and we might tie that to a widget if it's the same call to action for every scenario. So it just really depends on what, you know, what the client wants and, you know, what's going to work for them and their goals and reach their audience. And so that there doesn't have to be design actually happening within the back end where, you know, you're not selecting different font sizes, you know, things like that, or colors on your own. All of that is already built in.
Okay. You know? Okay. I think I'm getting an understanding then. So the design, the way the site will look, the CSS and the colors and the what have you, all of that is taken care of on a different level. And the client is basically just populating the content, and you have constrained the options that are available for this one particular client. So I don't know, if it's client A, they'll have these things available because in the discovery period, we figured they're probably the arrangement of things that they need. And client B over here, you'll have a different set of things that are available because we figured out you probably want some videos and client A never wanted videos, that kind of thing. And then they go in and basically populate the content into fields, which then map to locations within that page. Okay, I think I'm following. Have I got that about right?
Yeah, pretty much. Uh-huh. I mean, they're flexible in that you can move them around,
okay,
too. When we first started with Advanced Custom Fields, we were building more like template type sites. So, you know, we'd have a template for the home page, a template for this, a template for that. And then we're like, that's like, you know, it's too rigid. We need something more flexible.
Yeah.
So, you know, we started playing around with it, and now all of the fields and sections are movable. And what's great about it too is that, you know, if we do have a client who's going to log in and make edits or blog or something like that, I can hop on a Zoom session with them and a screen share, and in 15 minutes they understand how to use this thing.
Okay.
So yeah, it's super, super simple. It can get more complex. Like, we're just finishing up a site now where the client is going to be, you know, changing things a lot, and he wanted very, very specific things like light green highlighting behind text and it, you know, just whatever, stuff like that. So, you know, we had to code in a lot of these styles and everything, and we do use short code a lot too for things like that, where we'll style it in the style sheet and then give them a whole little index of, okay, here's all the short codes you have. And we drop that on the right side of the bar for, you know, each page so they can easily see which short codes are available. So, you know, occasionally we'll do stuff like that. But for the most part, this is just a really, really easy, simplified kind of interface without stuff they don't need.
Yeah, it feels as if what you're doing there is you're literally that. You're just inoculating them from all of the choices that they would have with a page yeah. builder. You know, like, there's 1,001 things that you could drag in. So, okay, well, let's drag them all in and see what they do. And obviously, you know, things get balked at that point. And the beautiful idea that you had for the design and the, you know, the relationship between the font size and the background image and things like that is all shot to pieces. So you're saying, just put the text in there and we'll take care of the rest. We'll make it look nice. We'll make it hover to the left or what have you, and give it a drop shadow or whatever it might be. You just fill in the fields and you're off to the races. And you want another one like that? Okay, just do it again and off you go. And so you're stripping away that creativity from them, which is kind of interesting. But also, I presume you are also, mentioning inoculation, you're inoculating yourself from the client's desire to have a little bit of fun and explore, which I'm sure we've all experienced. Yeah. Where, you know, you hand the site over and 2 days later you realize, oh, that doesn't look like it did when I handed it over. So you're immunizing yeah. yourself from that as well. That's nice.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, I still tell people that this is very flexible. You know, the way they lay out a page or whatnot, if they're going to be in there and doing that. But like I said, 90% of our clients, most of them are small businesses or, you know, nonprofits, things like that. So they're very busy doing the other things required of, you know, their business or their organization.
Right.
Yeah. So they actually appreciate that they can lean on us and even, you know, make content updates if necessary, because they're just, you know, they're busy doing their thing and they realize that, you know, they don't want that.
Yeah.
They really don't,
yeah.
You know? So, yeah.
It's a real testament, though, to the myriad of different ways that you can build things with WordPress. I mean, I am not a user of the software, but I am imagining that if you go to Wix or Squarespace, there's a way. There's the way, you know, the prescribed way of doing it. But over on the WordPress side, you know, you do classic themes, you could do full site editing themes, you could use Elementor, Beaver Builder, Divi, you could use the block editor, you could use your technique, build your own, and it's just up to you, however you want to do it. And if you've managed to create a successful business with this niche way of doing it, let's put it that way, you know, it's not the sort of mm-hmm. common way of doing it, then that's great. And if it works for your clients, that's great. I think that's yeah. a really interesting story. That's fabulous.
Yeah, and what's funny is, you know, WordPress, it has a DIY aspect to it, but people usually feel like it's the harder version of like a Wix or Squarespace. I have been in the back end of both of those, Wix and Squarespace, and I find them awful. But then again, I'm used to the WordPress ecosystem and what we've been doing. So, but I've also worked with a number of clients who they went the DIY route, they did the Wix or the Squarespace, and then they hit a wall. Or even with Shopify too, because Shopify is also huge. They hit a wall. And most of it has to do with frustrating circumstances, like they can't figure out how to do this, or something doesn't work right, or something like that. And they're like, what am I doing spending all of my weekend days like trying to mess with this site? And then they start looking for other options, and then they find us. So a large percentage of people, especially the small business or the solopreneurs or whatever, who find me, that's their situation. They've been down that road, and they're like, we're done with this. We just want to hand this off to a professional who knows what they're doing. And I've also seen, like small companies, corporate environments where they've had somebody in house, take a site. And these are mostly sites that we then redesign because they're just a hot mess. And you'll find, okay, it's a Divi theme. They've stuffed Elementor in it. And also there's Blocks somewhere too. Yeah. I've seen this. Yeah. I've seen Elementor, Beaver Builder, and Blocks all happening on a single website. So that's kind of the pitfalls of if you really don't know how to use WordPress. I'm not going to say properly, because like we just covered, there's many ways to use it, but there's certain things that you just should not do. And that is one of them. Like add multiple builders, people going willy-nilly with plugins, and I try and train my clients that if you're going to install a plugin, especially if you're on our maintenance, please run it by us first, because that's the only way we can guarantee that your site is going to stay functioning 100% and, without problems. And I've had a lot of clients like hire an SEO person, a marketing person, yeah, and suddenly something's added on the site, and I'm like, what is this doing here? So yeah, it's not that I'm putting the clinkers on you doing whatever you want with your own site. I'm just saying, if you're paying us to manage your site, please just give us a heads up.
Yeah. I think it's really a great little story, though, about you just going in your own direction and figuring out over the many clients that you've figured it out with that this just works. It's a system that is unique to you. And maybe there's people out there who are operating something adjacent to this and can identify with it. But, it's worked for you. It works for your clients. They don't have the overload of, 12 different interfaces to faff around with and a myriad of different choices. It's just, here's what you get, and it'll work. Off you go.
Yeah, pretty much. And, I think there's space enough in the whole WordPress ecosystem for all of it, whichever direction people are going to go. We go back periodically and go, okay, how has Blocks come along? Can we, fuss with it and make it do exactly what we want to do. So we keep checking in, maybe at some point in time, we may start using that exclusively.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of movement at the moment. The problem, I think, maybe is that it's still there's a lot of flux, let's put it that way. Things are changing at a fairly rapid rate, and we haven't quite settled on the UI for all of that. So it is a little bit confusing, I think, for clients. If you're on the inside of the baseball for WordPress, then it's fine because you keep an eye on it and you know what's going on. But for the occasional client that logs in once every 3 months to add a thing, suddenly to realize, wait, nothing's where it used to be. That is slightly problematic. Sherry, unfortunately, time is the enemy. And we're going to have to knock it on the head there. But we say that in the UK, by the way. It means we're going to end it. And I'd just like to say I really appreciate it. It's fascinating talking to you about the, you know, the creative side of things and whether there's an overlap between your desire to paint and your desire to create things on the internet, but also your interesting approach to creating websites with custom fields. That's fascinating. Thank you for chatting to me today. I appreciate it.
Lovely talking with you.
Okay, that's all I've got for you this week. I hope that you enjoyed that. Very nice to chat to Sherry today all about that. If you have anything to say, please head to wpbuilds.com. Leave us a comment. Search for episode number 418, and we'd love for you to leave us a comment there. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. You can find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. The podcast is also helped this week by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And also keeping the lights on at the podcast this week is Omnisend. Omnisend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend, the email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Then try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. And sincere thanks go to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost and Omnisend for their continuing and ongoing support of the WP Builds podcast. Okay, just before we go, a couple of things. The first one is to re-mention the Page Builder Summit from the 12th to the 16th of May, 2025, pagebuildersummit.com and pagebuildersummit.com/sponsors. If you would like to join that event as a sponsor. And don't forget, you can also join WP Builds as a sponsor, wpbuilds.com/advertise. Okay, no doubt we'll be back for the This Week in WordPress show, which we host live every Monday. Hopefully we'll see you there. If not, we'll repurpose it and send it out to you as a podcast on Tuesday. We'll be back next Thursday for this, the WP Builds podcast. And all that I'm going to do now is fade in some cheesy music. Say, stay safe, have a good week. Bye-bye for now.